morning.
If you're troubled, heavy-hearted, come to Jesus and find your peace. If you're
I'm not afraid to die.
dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Amen. It's like the more we've been delivered from, the more we have to say it. Praise God. So grateful to see everybody here in worship this morning. We are in the middle of a summer drive for vacation and seeing just how many people can get out there and vacate. But in the midst of all that, we are remaining grounded in hopefully in worship. We're grateful for the attendance that we're seeing through the summer. And of course, God's been on the move. Been doing great things, right? Praise the Lord. We have, let's just sing the call to worship. It's 174. Majesty, let's stand and sing. Heart of Melody, 380.
Oh,
Well, we were moving things around and tinkering with the best way to keep our attitude of worship and praise going as we begin our worship. We moved the announcements down to this point, but I think what I want to do is slide those a little further, and we'll get to those in a minute. But first, let's just take a minute to allow testimony to come forth, praise for God and His work in our lives. I know there's overflowing hearts this morning, lots of joy in the room. Feel the presence and movement of the Holy Spirit. Let's give that some room in our lives. Somebody have a word of testimony they want to share.
I'm going to need someone to speak for
me. Okay. that is Lauren. She's our girl. That's all right. You just speak and we'll let the interpretation come.
It might just come out phrases.
All right. We'll make room for you right here.
After I hug you.
I'm so happy to be here. I sat in every single pew in this church, yes, probably 100 times, ran up and down, and I wasn't awake. I've been gone, 4 or 5 years now? And 4 of those years, I spent putting a needle in my arm multiple times a day, and I didn't think I was going to get to live. And all I can say to explain myself is He turns bones into armies. He turns graves into gardens. And His grace is never ending. It's never ending. And I just wish I could give everybody a little bit of what's inside of me.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
We love you.
Jesus is the only answer.
Whew. Maybe I should have done the announcements first. John?
Life will tell Lauren there's power in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I'll be 56 months sober come Wednesday.
Jesus is so good.
Yes.
Huh? You have to surrender. Other praises? Arlene. God place that person in your life as a neighbor. Very grateful for that. Other praises this morning.
It's good to see Kathy here.
Yes. There's Kathy back there. How's she doing? Who's that man sitting with you?
I'm getting better. Well.
Praise the Lord. I know it's been a long process.
Yes, it has. But I am on the road to some sort of recovery.
You are on the road to recovery, and we're on the road to answered prayer. And
yes,
you're teaching us about
that's
prayer.
Honest
yeah.
Prayer.
Well, Joy?
We have 2 healthy
twins.
Great nephews.
our niece Megan gave birth to 2 twins, Ryan and Adam. Yeah, and one of our nieces who has struggled for years with the heartbreak of loss through miscarriage is pregnant naturally, and she's done with her first trimester. So you remember Chelsea from Salkehatchee? Pray for her. Just sitting here going, Lord, do you really want to do what's on the printed paper today? We'll have to see what happens. God give us grace to hear. Other praises? All right.
From Jim, he did such an awesome job. I'm sure you watched him.
Well, I was saving that for last, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
What'd you laugh for, Joy?
Well, I didn't know if I said something wrong.
Emily? I appreciate the grace of being able to get away. I needed a month off. Couldn't get that because the press of and march of circumstances is going to keep me from taking a lot of time off. But I am going to get another couple of weeks in August. And assuming responsibilities within the new denomination will require a lot of focus and new energy. It needs a new preacher. So I pray God will create one out of me. But how wonderful it is to watch our church services online and see full church. And not just full, but without any influence of me, my fingerprints, to know that Kevin could get up and carry the gospel. And Jim, so powerful. First time I'd heard him preach like that in years. Wonderful to see the music and the talent that God has put right under our fingers. It's not a problem. Music's not a problem in our church. It's a beautiful thing. We've got to figure out how to allow that to flourish. God's got so many answers for us, for all of our questions, but all the answers are Jesus. All right. What about our prayer concerns? There went my car. Prayer concerns. Jim Johnston has shingles. That's why he's not here today, so pray for him. Was that Emily that had her hand up?
Yes. To ask for prayer for Bud Smith. He's a patron of my marriage. He's over 8 years in remission, and his cancer has come back. And he's starting to go to the hospital this coming week to begin an extensive.
Okay.
Bud Smith. Okay.
Others? Tammy?
My mom, Wanda Skipper's having breast cancer surgery on Tuesday.
Tuesday of this week. Okay. And we know that she had all of the, I think, all of the opportunities a person can get, right, in discovering and approaching a solution.
Get a mammogram.
Yeah, get a mammogram. That's right. Okay. Eric?
Daddy had a good report from the neurologist, and continue to pray for, he's having some test results come back hopefully this week that may give us some insight and may not, but he's still improving.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Chin up, Mary. Others? All right. Well, there have been a number of the prayer chain has been active through the last couple of weeks. Jamie?
Sorry, Mac Durham's family. Mac, his father.
The family of Mac Durham, friends of Mike and Lisa Umberger, especially. All right. Are there others? Okay. Well, sometimes we come into church with our secret pain, and it's kind of wrapped up or packed away in a box, Well, when everybody closes their eyes, you might just try to crack it open a little bit and say, Jesus, here's mine, and just see what he says. If you come here hopeful, just know that lots of people have come hopeful and lots of people have found. And so let's go with that attitude to Jesus now. Father, we're so grateful this morning. We're grateful for your grace. that announces itself in the smallest of ways, ways that we discount, ignore, pretend we can't see, until God, finally your grace is a tsunami of love, chasing us down, rushing through every barrier we erect or erected by Satan against us. Today, as we think about the story, the song of redemption, we celebrate grace through the person of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that those he sets free are free indeed. And today, Lord, we know that the blood that was shed on the cross continues to flow into every crack and crevice and tear and broken place of life to heal, and to heal repeatedly. And God, when it seems like healing doesn't take, it just keeps coming. Our presence today is in no small part a response to that. God, we love you. We love what we believe we know of you. We ask that you reveal more of yourself in our midst today. Manifest your divine presence. Take over, upend, turn around our service to where it matches and aligns with your direction. In all things, Lord, have your way, or move us out of the way. God, we pray for the future that is bright and full of promise. We thank you that in Jesus there is no yesterday. We thank you that every one of us today have a brand new, fresh start right now, today. Be with us in the days to come as we seek to discern and move with your plan and guidance. Forgive us, Lord, where we have failed to perceive the full extent of your grace. We have failed to present the full measure of your gospel. May God empower us with tomorrow. For the fields are white to harvest. Now, God, as we remember those who we've named, we also hold before you our private concerns, the things about which you alone have been speaking to us in the private spaces of our hearts. Give us courage, the courage of surrender and release. Give us the freedom of your covering and protection. For you have instructed your angels concerning us to guard us in all our ways. They will lift us up in their hands so that we will not stumble or trip on a stone. We will tread upon the lion and the cobra. We will destroy the great lion and the serpent. And now, God, with your help, we pray as Jesus taught us, remembering to pray into the promises you gave, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Well, as we take time now to cover a few announcements, we want to remind everyone that we're having lunch today. Seems like we do that a lot around here. It suits me just fine, of course. Everybody's invited to stay for a meal after church. It's free. And join us in the Life Center for a fifth Sunday celebration. We have also, these catechisms have arrived. And Kevin is going to get a hold of these. A catechism is an old word. It means teaching. But it actually covers more than teaching. It covers the actual rule of doctrine. So in other words, this is our teaching on rule and doctrine. We want every single family in this congregation to have a catechism in their home to supplement their Bible study. Within this book contains a guide to the way we read and interpret Scripture and receive doctrine and the guidance for our lives. It's very small, but it has over 100 questions in it. The ones that can, and scriptures listed that can answer those questions regarding God, the nature of salvation, who you are, your future promise of heaven. It's all in this book right here. And if you'll hold this in the front cover of your Bible, there should never be an opportunity that comes that you won't be able to look and reference and know the answers for what and why we believe what we believe. So I'm going to let the transition team take hold of these and figure out the best way to get these into the hands of everybody. But we can do that next week. Yeah. The missions team has been very busy, and I know Inel is excited to come and tell you something about it. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Eric?
Men's Club Tuesday.
Men's Club Tuesday? All right, I know that the UMW is meeting on Friday at 11:45 Friday, and that's in the bulletin. Becky?
I'm passing around a sheet for a new directory.
Other announcements?
Your ordination.
Oh, yeah, my ordination. Behold is the inaugural event of the South Carolina Global Methodist Church. It'll be taking place in Lexington at Mount Horeb Church in 2 weeks on August the 12th. It's an all-day event. There are workshops and breakout sessions. You can pay, enroll online, and go and attend those sessions. You can meet with Bishop Mark Jones, and you can also, but at the afternoon, the ordination service and the worship will be free. So you can either pay and come and take part in some of the educational and connectional opportunities, or you can come for the free part of the afternoon and join us in worship and ordination for our first clergy ordinations in South Carolina. So hope you'll be a part of that, if you're able, if it fits your calendar. Let's see. There's more. We will be taking time in October to do some conferencing. We're going to have a teachers' education conference. They're going to be following that. We're going to have worship conferences, prayer conferences, opportunities to train and instruct and participate in all kinds of areas of ministry. And we hope you'll be on tuned in for all of those. But the opportunity you may be wondering about the most is we're going to plan a day, a time, when we all reaffirm our membership vows. And there are at least seven other couples and families who want to join with us. So we will be receiving them on either transfer or profession of faith in the months to come. So we want everyone to be prepared to restate and reaffirm your faith commitment to Christ. And we'll be doing that over time as a congregation. Okay? All right. Lauren?
I'm sorry, but can you tell me about the mountain, the Hope Mountain?
Sure, I can tell you about Hope Mountain. Let me tell you about what God did. A couple of years ago, before COVID, we were going, Becky Hoover was working us through experiencing God and how that works as sort of a matrix for how God moves. And I was preaching out of that, and right in our midst, God seemed to just throw this ministry out in front of us. And so we ran out there like a bunch of fools and took hold of it and found out it was a lot bigger than us. And after we got our tails whipped for a little while, John Grizzle went off to Bethel Colony and came back with a blazing testimony of deliverance. And we have been watching and living into the Hope Mountain experience ever since. And we are preparing. John is a lightning rod for Jesus, and we keep two or three or four people somewhere in the process of deliverance all the time. So Hope Mountain Ministry is a ministry of deliverance from alcohol and drug addiction. Yeah, and you're going to help us. Yeah, you will. Because who better, right? Who better to do that work? And so that mission and vision has been growing. COVID, a lot of things caused us to be mystified and concerned and worried all along the way. Our personalities kept getting in the way and different things. But God has shown us recently that He's still assembling a team, a big team of people to do a big work of ministry. It's right around the bend. So a group of benevolent people in Spartanburg are preparing to help us raise the money to purchase the mountain property. And it's still going. So, yeah.
Well, you better be.
Oh, I've already put your name on the paper. All right. Alcohol and drugs are not the problem. The problem is that broken thing that never gets healed, that we keep applying salve over and doing things to try to escape. Deliverance is when God comes and delivers us from the pain of that broken part. Restores and makes us new. So.
Praise the Lord.
We need to take up the offering. Praise the Lord. Let's have the ushers come forward. There they come now.
Place.
Yeah. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, your goodness
is immeasurable. The things that you do are great, but who you are is even greater. What a privilege it is for us to partake in your kingdom by giving you an offering. May you bless it. May it make you smile. May it come from the heart. May your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand for the gospel.
Look,
I've
got a good coffee. The gospel reading today is from Matthew 13, 31 through 33, and 44 through 52. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he comes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is old and what is new and what is old. the first word, the last word, the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's present our offering to the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. And we'll let the young people go, those who would like to go with Inel at this time. They'll return very shortly. I'm not trying to encourage anybody to start worshiping online because I think the Bible... I think that was the nail that just went in. I mean, I've been trying to get the whole lesson this morning, and I believe God just went... I think maybe Alan Gray's supposed to preach today. I don't know. Is anybody doing the next thing? Okay. Just checking.
She was just waking everybody up.
Well, I'm awake. And I'm the only one up here with his shirt off. All right, if nobody else has anything from the Lord. Well, I had some time, of course, to be away and think and reflect, but being able to view our service online and watch with jealous amazement at the fellowship that we have when we're together in the room together. Understand it as beautiful as it appears and looks and how edifying a message can be. There's nothing like being in the room. Amen. And participating in the koinonia, you know, the fellowship of God. And so we look forward to having that going forward. I forgot to do the bulletin this week. Becky called me when she was leaving the last day in the last hour and said, did you forget the bulletin? And I said, I sure did. And she somehow has put this together for us. I gave her a title for a message. Say yes if you get it. Say yes if you get it. Let's pray. Father, in your storehouse are many treasures, and none are prohibited from visiting that storehouse and taken from it, treasures, old and new, small and great, dusty or shiny. God, it's all on our end. The holdups and the hangups are all within us. As Jesus seeks to set each one of us free and set our feet on a little bit higher ground today, help us forget yesterday. Our failures, our reluctance, help us step freely into what you offer through your Spirit in the Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Say yes if you get it. The last two verses of the scripture today, Jesus said, have you understood all these things? It just struck me when I read that, because he said some pretty awesome and powerful things. He'd just gotten through an argument with the disciples over the scattered seed, some that fell, you know, in the thorns and the hard soil. And then they said they didn't understand it. And here we come down to this part of the gospel, and he makes sure they do understand. He says, have you understood this? And they said to him, yes.
Then he said, the well-equipped scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of God is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasures some old and some new. He's teaching the kingdom of God. Practically every time he opened his mouth, if it wasn't a rebuke, stern rebuke to religious people, or a word of encouragement and hope and forgiveness to a sinner, it was a message about the kingdom of God. And Addie's going to come and share with us what she knows about the kingdom of God. If you open the Gospels with a fresh eye, you will see that when Jesus spoke, he was speaking about the arriving of the kingdom of God. He didn't say, I'm going to die on a cross soon, and so y'all guys get ready. That's your signal. And when that happens, salvation will flow freely for all. He didn't announce that somehow after 3 days he was going to rise again. He told those intimate things to intimate people. But when he opened his mouth to you and to me, the bystanders and the hearers, it was about the kingdom of God. You would think after 2,000 years, when you come into a church, the church of Jesus Christ, you would hear people talking and bubbling about the kingdom of God. But crickets. It's because it's been so little understood. It's like the story of the parable of the seed that fell in all the hard places. Hard to understand or receive. But Jesus moves into this next series of parables, and he first says, as he teaches these, he says, do you understand now? Say yes when you get it. They said yes. So I'm hoping that today, with a brief recap of each parable, you'll say, yeah, I get it. And you'll be able to respond with these disciples in the same way. First example he used was a mustard seed. There's been all kinds of debate about this, but clearly it was a plant that the seeds were so small you could hardly see them or handle them. Jesus says these mustard seeds were planted, and over time they grew and they grew and they grew until finally it was like a tree in the garden that birds would come and nest in. I've never seen a tree grow overnight. I think Bradford pears are about the closest we get. We know what an invasive tree that is. And so the first thing we're supposed to get about the kingdom of God is it starts with very small, insignificant beginnings. And today, when I walked into church and the time was clicking by, I could see example after example of that, is how the kingdom of God is constantly coming in, a crop after a crop after a crop. But every one of them begins with seed so small, you would never hold out hope for much, only to see it growing into these majestic trees with people's names on. We could say the mustard seed represents the kingdom of God in the growth of grace in the soul. It begins very small. That God almost puts, like pushes into a crevice with a paste or a wood putty, only to find that it has taken hold. These seeds begin so small, it's like the faintest of an idea or a hope. A hope to maybe escape hell, the hell of life, or an eternal damnation. Maybe it begins as a hope or a glimmer that somehow there's light, there's better life for me. But however small or whatever it seems, with time and God's grace, the roots push down. The branches push and shove against the atmosphere. They grow, they bloom and branch out. Before you know it, you have a full-on display of God's grace in your own life. And nobody says, well, she's still just a mustard seed. That's not what they say at all. They say, what mighty branches have grown in this grace-filled moment. Look at this tree, which had such small and insignificant beginning. What it has become in this person's life. How beautiful. But the roots never stop. They continue to grow and grow and grow. And that's how the kingdom of God is in our life. The fullness of this grace continues to unfold in our lives with more and more perfection. You say, well, how can you have more and more perfection? Well, in Jesus, you can have more and more perfection. Because what is full and perfect today, as much as you can imagine it, it's all you can imagine today. 2 years from now, you'll know there's even more. And that's perfect. And second, let me just ask you. Say yes if you get it. Have you understood this? And then there was the leaven. He says leaven has been mixed into three loaves. And throughout that loaf, the leaven goes. And you can't see or predict what it does. I'm sure it was more of a mystery then than it is now, but I don't know if anybody really knows how leaven works. I know I don't. But it's mixed all through the dough. And soon the dough is rising. Not just some of the dough. Not just a part. Linda, if you're going to keep passing notes, I'm going to put you in the back of the room. Just thought I'd pick on you a minute. I don't know what. Are y'all passing love notes around? Can you imagine a loaf that somehow the leaven only got half a hold of? Does that happen? I don't even know. Does it happen? Apparently none of y'all have seen it. Well, I should be asking you, Alan. Does leaven ever just get a little bit of the loaf? All right. If the leaven's good, it's going to get the whole loaf. Well, the kingdom of God leaven is really good. And once it goes throughout the whole loaf, there is a magical, amazing growth that occurs. Now you may say, that's just bread. But the leaven of the kingdom of God affects your whole life. You could have the entry point could be a ministry opportunity or a dinner or maybe a movie. It could be a sermon you heard or a message from a friend. But in some small, insignificant way, it has a beginning in your life that instantly begins to affect your entire life. Jesus comes into your life, he's going to mess with your whole life. Pretty soon, the effects of the gospel, even if you didn't know what was happening, someone will say, wow, what a loaf of bread. You say, that's not exactly what I would have been called, but yeah, the full loaf. When the kingdom of God comes into your life, it takes over the entirety of your entire being. Say yes if you get this. Another example he had was of a hidden treasure. There was a hidden treasure in a field, and a man, it says in the scripture, he found it. We don't exactly know what that's like. We've had discussions before about, well, shouldn't he have told the owner of the field? Well, Jesus said no, he should go and buy the field and get it. He found it. He goes and he does the proper thing. He buys it and he gets the treasure. I don't think it was just a gold nugget. I think it was an opportunity to mine and mine and mine and mine. He says when he discovered this bounty. What can we get from this? Well, Joy's been looking for shark's teeth now for about 5-6 years. How many have you found? Three? But you take the children with you, and how many do they find while they're looking with you?
Six.
Each time. If you're walking in the field with an eye towards something, you know not what, but you have an idea. If you're looking and searching, the scripture says, if you're looking in that way for God, you will find him. And in the proper time, a man is looking, he sees, he finds a treasure, he goes away, he sells whatever he has to get the money, and he buys that field and mines it for everything. The kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure that he would give up everything for. And very much like that, the next example Jesus gave, and I know you understand it, is of a pearl. Now this man was searching for pearls. This man was examining pearls. He was looking. It says in verse 45, he was in search of fine pearls. But he found just the right one. I don't know what makes a perfect pearl. But it says he found the one he was looking for, and it was a pearl of great price. This man went away immediately and sold everything he had. Folks, he burned every bridge. He cut loose every other part of his life and liquefied his assets. He took that money and he purchased that pearl of great price. Contemplating and looking at the person of Jesus Christ today, you ought to be thinking, how could you not have thought today? Jesus is a pearl of great price. If that's not the Jesus you found, you haven't looked at all the pearls yet. If the Jesus you have is not the pearl of great price, brother, keep looking. If you've got the wrong Jesus today, go keep looking. Knock on doors, tear down fences, look in fields. Uncover the flea market items and look hard. If the Jesus you have is not worth everything you own today, you have the wrong Jesus Christ. And I'm sorry. Not really. It's just a figure of speech. But the more we have people in our midst who have been genuinely redeemed, rescued from the pit, who've been saved from great harm, who can sing the songs of redemption, who know the pearl of great price, the greater the contrast is going to be in our lives. The greater you and I are going to be faced with the contradictions of our faith, the more we're going to have to examine our Jesus. Now, say yes if you get it.
Yes.
Finally, I used to never say finally because the minute you hear finally, you wait for the sermon to end. So I'm just going to keep on going. So, nearly finally, he says, the kingdom of God is like a net. Now, if you've never fished with a net, it's very different than fishing with bait. On a line, because a bait on a line, you're trying to maybe get a specific kind of fish. But when you're casting a net, you get all kind of crazy stuff, don't you? I mean, I've gotten fish I've been ashamed to say their name. You find all kind of stupid fish. Big ones, little ones. You see some amazing things in your net. And that's the kind of fishing Jesus wants us to do. When he says, I'll make you fishers of men, he doesn't hand you a Zebco 33. He doesn't give you a bag of little cheap grape-flavored worms. He means take a net and throw it and cast it as wide and as far as you can, and it will catch all kinds. And you don't stand there on the deck going, oh, hold it. Let me get that one out before you pull it in. Oh God, let's get those out. He says, haul it in. Empty it on the floor. Let the fish flop. But we want to be selective. It's funny how we, the redeemed, tend to forget what we've been redeemed from.
Amen.
We suddenly become God's judges of character. And we see this person or that, and we know they're not quite where they ought to be. And there's a little bit of a smell about them. There might be a taint of alcohol. Or we might wonder what they've been up to at 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus has no part of that for us. We can't stand at the door back there and measure the quantity or the kind or the type of the fish as they come in. The haul must be total and complete. The nets to bursting. And the preacher's not the one who invited those people. Look, do your research. Preachers don't invite people to church. The church invites people to church. You have the friends, you have the contacts, you have the neighbors, all kinds of people who would be attracted by the flavor of your life, except they suddenly and almost unconsciously feel your judgment of them. This net is thrown into the sea. In verse 47, it says it gathers fish of every kind. And when it was full, it was drawn ashore and sat down, sorted into containers. It says it will be at the end of the age that the angels will come and they will do the sorting. They'll separate the evil from the righteous, throw them, the evil, into the fiery furnace. Folks, there is an existence today as it ever was true. There is a fiery furnace. It is the just outcome of my life and yours. We deserve the fiery furnace. Has there ever been a truth more eloquently and directly stated in Scripture that there is a fiery result in judgment? We don't get a memo from the church or from on high somewhere in the church ecclesiology that says we don't believe that anymore. Your neighbor, my neighbor, your nieces and grandchildren and mine, they are in risk of being separated into the fiery furnace. Start casting. Bring them in. Yeah, we'll have a mess. Yes, we won't know how to figure it out. We'll have all kind of craziness. Do you understand this? Years ago, I was listening to a preacher in Atlanta tell how he had arrived. He was senior pastor. He had a staff of like 7 other pastors. And he had a funny, embarrassing little quirk. While he would dress in the master suite of his bedroom every Sunday morning, put his cufflinks on, he'd listen to this look. He'd had a nasty habit for years of listening to this little holiness preacher on an AM station. And he would laugh and mock to himself and say, because that little preacher would stop in the middle of his sermon and yell at the children to get out of the way or, you know, get down to the bathroom if that's where you're going. Y'all sit down in back. You know, literally trying to ride herd on lemmings. Cats. And he would laugh and mock at the little preacher man and think, one Sunday he thought, I will never have to deal with that kind of riffraff in my church. And he said, right that moment, the Holy Spirit said, that's right, you never will, and you should be ashamed. Now, folks, I don't know if you know it or not, but when you come out from a denomination, when you distinguish yourself from another group, when you say because of your standard of belief and because of the things you stand on and believe in, you're going to separate yourself, the onus is on you to prove that you can love, that you understand that all are welcome at the foot of the cross, that you know that there's value in intrinsic sacred value in every life. Do you understand this?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, let the least among us be exalted in your sight. Let the brokenhearted and the broken spirited rise to lead in our praise. And let those of us who have been blessed in some ways, unfortunate in others, to live a life that has been relatively free of that kind of conflict or burden, let us step back. Let us realize that we are perhaps in the most danger of all. This is the time of the harvest in the kingdom. That we're done. We are done with Bible stories and lessons and endless tales. That it's time for the rubber to meet the road. To understand that some days will be bad days for some people. In our own ministry team, there will be a person who had a horrible failing over the weekend or last week, and they're going to need to know that we are with them, not judging. We're going to go all the way and see your kingdom come. Could there be anything more glorious than what we've seen? Yes. Even more glory. Even more for you, Jesus. And we eagerly anticipate the arrival of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be making time at the altar for you to come and pray if you'd like. Simply to make your need known to God. If you need someone to come and pray with you, just raise your hand while you're down here. But when that time seems to have passed and we know that that ministry has taken place, we'll go on. You don't have to perform. You don't have to come down here feeling guilty because nobody else is down here. It's all God. And we'll sit here. We made the invitations. Nobody comes. We'll sit here impatiently waiting for our lunch. Then we'll sing the last song and end our service. Amen. So won't you come?
Praise the Lord. All right, our final hymn is Rescue the Perishing, and the number is 591. Rescue the Perishing. You talk about God lining up some songs. Rescue the Perishing, 591.
Thank you.